Call the meeting of the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. We do have a quorum. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from February 23rd.
I'll move the minutes for February 23rd, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Briner. The motion is before us. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all those in favor of their adoption, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. And first on the agenda, we have House File 480. Representative Rukavina, welcome.
Mr. Chair, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here in front of you and the committee. Mr. Chair, I've got an amendment. Somebody could move the bill, and then I have an amendment to put it in order, if that would be okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House File 480 be recommended, passed, and placed on the... In fact, as I look at it, could very easily go to the consent calendar if the author is comfortable with that or the committee.
I don't think I've had a bill on the consent calendar because if my name's on it, the Republicans are ready to jump all over it. So.
Well, maybe, Mr. Chair, I'll move it to the general register, and if, as we see the discussion and where the amendments come from or questions, perhaps the consent calendar might be the revised motion at the end.
Certainly. So we have the bill before us. Representative Rukavina, I believe there's an amendment. Did you want to have the amendment adopted before we discuss the bill?
Yes, the A1 amendment. If it could be moved.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that amendment.
Representative Hoffe moves the A1 amendment. Is there any discussion to the amendment? Do you need to explain that? Or
Mr. Chair, with the amendment that was added on in the Senate, there were some concerns about whether or not the seabed project would sell wholesale and retail, and what it does, it says that it has to sell, it can't sell at retail, I believe.
Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of its adoption, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Amendment is adopted. Representative Rukavina, to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. With our new, energy policies in the state, if any of you have been up on the Iron Range recently, you've noticed the 2.5 megawatt windmills on the Laurentian Divide above the Mintec taconite plant. And Mountain Iron has a Economic Development Authority. They have gotten some grants for testing. They put some wind anemometers, is that right? Did I say it right? Up on the Embarrass Mountains next by close to the LTV, old LTV mining site, and it has very promising wind there also. Problem is that an EDA can't get those tax breaks that companies are buying for windmills, that there's these federal tax breaks in that, and I don't know, state tax breaks too, I think, maybe, but in any event, so the bill basically is for one EDA, the Mountain Iron EDA, and it's for a specific project and a specific purpose to form a LLC for the seabed wind energy projects, and it also changes one other thing, and that is that they can, seabed can do a project outside of their municipal, lease land outside of their municipal boundary, because this site is outside of the Mountain Iron city limits. So that's what the bill does, and I'd appreciate your support. I don't know of any opposition. Like I said, the amendment addressed the concern, I believe, that Xcel or Minnesota Power, or maybe both of them, had, and some of the members in the Senate Energy Committee, and so it addresses that, and I know of no opposition. I see a couple of lobbyists from Minnesota, one from Minnesota Power. I don't see any opposition to it. So, appreciate your support.
Is there any discussion to the bill? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for or against the bill? Seeing none, Representative Atkins, do you want to renew your motion?
I will, Mr. Chair, and I, it seems the chief author desires to go to the general register. That, and I don't see, my only hesitation is if the folks on the other side are comfortable with it going to the consent calendar, that would be my motion, Mr. Chair. And if Representative Westrom has an inclination, I'd be happy to do my motion either way.
Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, I have one question, maybe for Representative Riccovino first, if Representative Atkins is okay with deferring the answer. Representative Riccovino, and I probably just missed some of your statements, but the ownership is still going to inure to Minnesota residents, isn't it, under this?
The ownership of
Representative Riccovino.
Chair, Representative, the ownership will still be the people of the City of Mount Iron will still control the seabed project, and but there, for this specific purpose, their EDA will be able to form a LLC.
Is that a question?
In order to sell the taxpayers.
Mr. Chair, unless other members have a reason not to, I'd be okay with it. The only caveat is it gets become the best vehicle for other seabed amendments, Representative Riccovino. We might have to talk at that point. I don't see other problems with it. I don't know. Other members, speak up if you think it shouldn't.
Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Riccovino, why are we putting this into an LLC?
Representative Riccovino.
There may be Mr. Kurt Bennett, who has been working on this with the City of Mount Iron, can explain it. But my understanding, Representative Anderson, is a community isn't able to take advantage of the federal tax credits that go along with these wind projects, where companies buy the tax credits, and for some reason they can't do it. So maybe Mr. Kurt Bennett can introduce himself and explain it better than I.
Mr. Sirkvenik.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Gary Sirkvenik. I represent the Mount Iron Economic Development Authority, and the fundamental reason is there's a federal production tax credit of roughly 2 cents per kilowatt hour that's available to companies that are doing wind projects. Additionally, the stimulus package has changed that to allow an option of a federal grant for up to 30% of the capital cost of the project. But because Mount Iron EDA is not a tax-paying entity, because it's an economic development entity, we can't take advantage of the tax credit. Under the seabed statute, the legislature and the governor authorized EDAs and political subdivisions of the states to be members of a seabed project and be, in effect, owners and developers of a project. And so that's our intention, to be an owner and developer of the project. However, to get the federal tax benefits, we have to form an LLC and sell them. It's a calculation that we need to make rather than taking the grant, because you also are eligible for federal depreciation. A renewable energy project can depreciate in 5 years instead of 30 years, so you package that up like you would in a housing project and sell it to an investor that has a tax appetite. So that's the intention of an LLC. An LLC is a standard form of doing it in Minnesota. Up to now, an EDA can form an LLP, which we have. LLC is a preferred method of doing business.
Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Sirkvenik, however it sounds, the last name, sorry if I mispronounced it, but just wanted to know if you've arranged the financing and things are in the process of doing that?
Mr. Sirkvenik.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we're in the process of arranging the financing, yes.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sirkvenik, can you tell me, is Minnesota Power all right with this? They're going to have to buy any excess power you have. Are they fine with that? And at what cost are they going to have to pay for the power?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Gunther, Minnesota Power, in fact, gave us a $50,000 initial grant. We operate under a memo of understanding on the project. We've shared wind data. We've hired a company called WindLogix, which is a worldwide company based originally in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, to do a two-year study on wind availability in the region of northeastern Minnesota. The Minnesota Power has a comparable anemometer next to our site and may be developing a similar size project. We may co-develop them together. We're in the process of negotiating a power purchase agreement with them now.
Representative Gunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Will any real people, like a farmer, for example, own this, ever own these windmills?
Mr. Chair, can I answer that one?
Representative Rukavina.
The people of Mount Iron are real people, and they will be the owners of they will be the owners of the windmills. We think seven of them, approximately. That footprint there is for seven, 1.5 kilowatt or megawatts, maybe a little bigger, but we're not sure. And hopefully then Minnesota Power, right across the highway from this site, has some potential wind there, as Mr. Cirkanic said. And the good thing about it, Bob, is at MinTech, at the Taconite mine, where there's a 25 megawatts there, there's huge substations at those mines. The infrastructure is all there. The transmission lines are all there to use.
You never have to sell power to anybody else.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, did you present any cost to this project as far as the total layout of what the whole project is going to end up costing?
We have, there are some estimates.
Mr. Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, excuse me. There are some estimates, but I think right now, they don't know which turbines and that they're going to move towards, but I think Mr. Cirkvenek can give you a rough estimate of the cost of the project.
Mr. Cirkvenek.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, if we choose a 1.5 megawatt turbine, six locations, six sites, approximate estimate is $16.7 million. 2.5 megawatt turbine would be the largest one we'd use. The price would be substantially higher for that, but of course it'd be more output. So that'd give you a range somewhere in the $16 to $25 million size project.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would recommend that this goes to the general register rather than to the consent calendar.
Representative Anderson, I think we already had determined that, but that I'm sure will be the motion, Representative Weston.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, has this come through Commerce? Is that...
And Representative Weston, this has come directly to this.
Okay. The question, and I just, Mr. Stefanik talked about, we allow LLPs for EDAs right now, according to him, and not LLCs. I'm wondering if staff or Representative Atkins have any recollection of why that is in our statutes, or is LLC just that new of an animal that we just haven't ever explored that question? Do you know Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chairman Rukavina? I don't know the answer to that, but I did talk to Representative Atkins whether he wanted to see the bill or not, and he was comfortable with the motion that he made, but I'll let him answer.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, I am not aware of any controversy with respect, but I think it is, as you say, a newer animal. But the and that it is, as Mr. Cirkvenek said, that it's designed to allow them to capture the most benefit that they can. But I'm not aware of any controversy relative to it. With the number of questions, however, that have been raised, I think it's in as the maker of the motion, and unless Representative Rukavina is uncomfortable, I think it would may merit that it go to the general register rather than the consent calendar, so that beyond the folks just on this committee, if there's questions on the House floor. I don't think it's very controversial. I think most people will find it not to be controversial, but we should at least give them the opportunity on the House floor. Then with that, Mr. Chair, I'll renew my motion that House File 480 be recommended pass and referred as amended to the General Register.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion
Thank you.
Prevail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So should I remove House File 8894 to the consent calendar? Mr. Chair, I'd move a motion to file 8-94.
That might be a strategic blunder, Representative Ashton.
Well, let me try this one then. I'll move House File 894 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Thank you. So, Representative Atkins, do you want to describe your bill?
I would be happy to, Mr. Chair. I do, however, have an amendment that was designed to bring a little peace in the valley, as Representative Davids likes to say, and would put it in the shape with which I'd like to proceed. That's the A3 amendment. And I will... I apologize. I believe it's now been coded differently. It's actually the
A4,
and I would move the A4 amendment.
Members have that amendment before them, I believe. Apparently, it's just being distributed, Representative.
Okay, well, why don't... Mr. Chair, with your permission, it's a very simple amendment that's being passed out, so I think as long as... if we can give it just 10 seconds for the amendment to come out, and then put the bill in the shape that we'd like to talk about it, that would probably help with the explanation. It shouldn't take more than just a few seconds. I think the amendment is only 10 words long.
So members have the amendment before them. Is there any discussion to the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know what the committee rules are, but my understanding was that there was supposed to be a 24-hour notice on this, and shows today's date at 2:25, at 2:20 p.m. I'm just asking if the committee has concern for that, or the committee chair.
Representative Anderson, I believe the rule refers to substantive amendments. My understanding and reading of this amendment is that it's basically a technical amendment that is clarifying language. I don't believe that it is a substantive amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would, if I might.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I had an earlier version of this same amendment in your packets. I think it's the A3. Mr. Elefso was able to bring to me a little while ago a little bit more clear version of the amendment. We're certainly not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes, and this was actually worked on with some of the folks that had some concerns about it. But I'd be happy to offer it as an A3 and then do an oral amendment if you'd prefer to do it that way, but I think you'd be more comfortable with Mr. Eliff's final version.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I'm just trying to clarify and make sure that the rules that we follow apply to everybody, and that we're going to not make a big deal out of this if the other side has a bill up and we offer an amendment, it's the same day and it's not 24 hours. I'm just trying to make sure that the playing field's level.
Well, Representative Anderson, you're due to the committee, but I think if you want to confer with any of the other members from your side that have served on this committee, they will tell you that we have never had any problems about amendments being offered under any circumstances that I can recall.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I intend to keep it that way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Representative Atkins, we have the A4 amendment before us. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of its adoption, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Amendment is adopted. Representative Atkins, to your bill.
Thank
you. As amended.
Mr. Chair and members, I appreciate your time and I appreciate this hearing. In 1982, I was a sophomore in high school. If I had bought a car that year and been making 26 years worth of payments and never got the car, I probably wouldn't be real happy, and neither would you if you had been in that boat. Well, that's what we're up against with respect to the nuclear waste repository allegedly going in at Yucca Mountain. In 1982, our ratepayers here in Minnesota started paying, and we've been paying ever since then to the tune of let me make sure I get the amount exactly right, $375.9 million that we paid to the Nuclear Waste Fund. That money is sitting gathering dust, and I assume a little interest. In fact, $283 million in interest in some account in Washington, D.C. Well, we wait for Yucca Mountain to get done to take our temporarily stored nuclear waste in some dry casks here in Minnesota. And unfortunately, that was supposed to be done January 31st, 1998, which was quite a while back as well. No progress, no real progress has been made to accommodate, to accomplish that that effort. And in fact, at long last, things continue to appear to be at all but a standstill with respect to finding a storage spot for our nuclear waste. Back in, I believe it was 1995, we put on the law a book that I am just slightly tweaking here that said, and I give credit to the folks that did this, that said we may give some thought to escrowing the money here in Minnesota rather than paying it to the Nuclear Waste Fund. And that way that would give us a little bit of leverage to try to get this this thing finally built or something done. And we haven't chosen to do that since the time that that law went on the books. And I'm suggesting that now is the time to start thinking about it. We're 11 years overdue. We've been paying for 26 years. We've got over a half a billion dollars of our people's money in an account in D.C., and it's time to try to get a little bit more leverage with respect to dealing with the feds and getting this thing built. Or if they're not going to build it, then tell us they're not going to build it and stop charging our folks to build it. So what my bill proposes to do is it says rather than paying into that account, we'll hold it here in escrow. It's $13 million a year. Now told all told, it's $549 per customer here in Minnesota. Not an insubstantial amount of money. And when they build it, we'll give them the rest of the money. They've got 600 and some odd million dollars sitting in that account that'll stay there of Minnesota's money. They got $31 billion total. But that from this point forward, we should say enough is enough. If we don't get that car after 26 years worth of car payments, we ought not to keep paying. The amendment was something that I worked on with Excel. It's something that I've asked our federal folks to do. Congressman, I was going to call him Representative Paulson now, Congressman Paulson, has made an effort to do so in Congress that would say that that would allow for the folks at Excel, who's ever paying into the Nuclear Waste Fund, to not have to pay to the feds and to Minnesota. The last thing we want to do is double this. And so we've asked Senator Klobuchar, as well as Representative Klein, Representative Paulson, to proceed in seeking federal legislation that would allow states to do this. I've also contacted some of our counterparts in the 34 other states that are paying into the Nuclear Waste Fund to ask them to consider doing the same. And when we finally do that, maybe when we get onto this playground with the big bully in the Nuclear Waste Fund, one of us standing alone will get pummeled. All of us standing together might have a shot. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to stop talking. There are a couple of folks I know that would like to share their thoughts with you, and then I'd be happy to take any questions or concerns people have.
And before we turn to questions of the members, Representative Atkins, do you have anyone that wants to testify on this bill, specifically Xcel Energy?
Hey, Mr. Chair, I'm aware that Xcel and also the Mayor of Red Wing is here and wants to provide some testimony to the committee.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe for Representative Atkins or somebody else, but before we hear from anyone else, is the facility at Yucca Mountain completed and just not open, or do they need to complete it? Are we waiting for Nevada and the federal government to agree, or just for the committee's edification?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, I don't believe they're even shovel ready, to use that wonderful term we use around here. They just begun to go through the permit process. It is my understanding there are some caves that were pre-existing, but that the facility is far from ready, and the last I heard it could be decades before it is ready.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Atkins, I was there a couple of years ago. If the hole is there, I don't know what else they need to do they've done all the tunneling, at least I think they've done it all. Mm-hmm. But that part's ready. I don't know if there's more that needs to be done to make it open. I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, the last, it literally as of a week ago, and I meant to print the article out, they had just begun the permitting process, and they expected that that was going to be anywhere from 3.5 to 4 more years if things go well. And by the way, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that we pull out of the Yucca Mountain repository or that concept as much as I am until they show us that they can get it done and they don't just continue to delay it. Why keep sending our money, good money after bad, for something that they haven't gotten done?
Representative News.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have a question about what the amendment does to the bill, but first, when I was out in Washington with the high-level waste working group, the director of Yucca Mountain, he basically said if everything goes exactly right from now, it's 2015, 2018, maybe, if everything goes exactly right, and it clearly hasn't gone exactly right for 20 years or so. So by putting this amendment on, is it saying that what this doesn't become law, it doesn't become effective until the federal action? I don't really understand exactly what the amendment does. I know Excel doesn't want to pay $13 million to the federal government and $13 million to Minnesota, which I agree with, but I don't really understand how this is saying this is basically you want the federal government to say you don't have to pay us. And then this will become effective. Is that what it does, or if you could just explain that?
Representative Ashton.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knuth, the last thing I want is to have Minnesota ratepayers, Minnesotans, paying to two funds to the tune of $13 million per year. And I don't think Excel, I don't think anybody in the room wants that to happen. So we would have to have some concert of effort, both the feds saying you don't have to continue paying into the nuclear waste fund, but we would still want to collect the amounts necessary to move forward with a nuclear waste repository. So we'd want to continue being able to collect $13 million. The goal here is to keep it here and only release it when the project is done, rather than just continuing to send it off and losing, frankly, we lose all of our leverage by doing that.
Representative Atkins, is the obligation represented by the escrowed funds include the interest?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that once you place the funds in, whether it's in the nuclear waste fund or the escrow account, that whatever they collected in interest would also be dedicated towards that purpose.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Atkins, you're in talking with my senator, Senator Koch. She hadn't heard that there was a bill introduced in the Senate over there, and I just wondered if you're working with a senator over there that introduced a bill like this over there.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, yes. We've been actually chasing after a certain senator that we think is going to offer it, but it hasn't been introduced yet. We're confident. We thought we were going to have it introduced yet today. Actually, we thought it was going to be introduced last week. Well, we've got to catch up with the senator that we think is going to introduce it.
As House member, should we be chasing senators?
Representative Hoppe, I wouldn't put anything past you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Atkins, are we, if this law were to go into effect here in the state of Minnesota, if, do we break federal law?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, no. The purpose of the amendment was to make sure that no one breaks federal law or violates the contract.
So that's the amendments. Okay.
Right.
Representative Westman.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Atkins, interesting concept. Maybe we're kind of embarking on the idea of some states saying no to the stimulus or bailout bill, kind of asserting some states' rights here. I'm almost afraid we might have to break federal law to kind of make the ruckus that you're intending under this bill, which is, hey, time to build this storage repository, like you've said you will. You've been charging us as if you have been. Otherwise, we're going to keep the money and at least have some dominion or control over it. The amendment basically, doesn't it pretty much neuter your bill? Because if the federal government repeals the law, then we don't have to send the money in anyways. And if they don't, your provision, what does it do if they don't?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, that is an excellent question. And the reason it is spot on is because we don't want to avoid funding. We know that we need an answer here, but the point is that if the federal government doesn't take this action that's been described in the bill to release us from having to send it to the Nuclear Waste Fund, I'll likely be back with a bill, be it next year or the following year, that says, to heck with them. Let's just do it anyway, and hopefully in conjunction with a whole lot of other states that would be willing to do the same thing. Right now, I'm trying to be a good kid on the playground and work and play well with others, give them an opportunity to do something that they should have done many years ago. But if they choose not to do that, then we can make our own choices about what direction we take after that. But I think this is, my hope is that this is somewhat the, I wouldn't put this in the same category as Mr. Lessard's efforts over many years, but it is the kind of thing that I recognize probably won't happen instantaneously. It's the kind of thing where we need to plant the seed among a lot of folks and hopefully see it come to some fruition. But we know for sure that what has occurred thus far has not worked. We've spent over $500 million and seen nothing as a result of it. So we ought to try some other tool in the toolbox.
Sure. Representative West.
Follow-up. My initial question when you were testifying, Representative Atkins, and I'll just ask it because I'm curious, where did you come up with this bill idea, or did you just happen to run across the statute in the law office one day? And secondly, what are the funds that are out there now, are they all pretty much still in a lockbox, or is it helping fund the cash that our government needs, and it's just an IOU from the federal government? Is the money really there, or how much of it is there? Do you know any of those numbers?
Representative.
Or roundabouts?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Westrom, I wish it was just a big pile of cash that Excel had sent in and was getting. It's my understanding that there's an account in the Department of the Treasury that is an interest-bearing account, and that the funds are available in that account. With respect to the genesis of the bill, I was actually having kind of a back-and-forth discussion with a legislator from Wisconsin who represents Green Bay, and I was giving him a hard time about the Packers. He was giving me a hard time about the Vikings. And he said, here's something we can agree on. And he told me about this Yucca Mountain situation. At that point, I knew we had been paying some money in, but I had no idea that it was over $500 million, which is a similar amount to what Wisconsin's paid in. And he said, it's about time somebody made a little hay with these people. And I came back from visiting with him and have been plugging away ever since, and found out from Mr. Eliff and others that we have had this law on the books that's been discretionary, and I just thought it might be time, high time, after waiting for an overdue project that's 11 years past due, that we said enough is enough.
One last question, Mr. Chair.
Representative West.
Are we going to hear from Excel or anybody? And Representative Atkins, we're required under federal law, but I mean, how far can we push this? Because I do tend to agree with you on pushing this. What are the ramifications if we pushed it further, or what's the atmosphere out there that of other options, and what's the ramifications if we go back to the language before your amendment is added? What happens? Because obviously we don't want the power plants to shut down or something that drastic to result from it. But we also might have to do something to get their attention and at least heighten the focus on this issue. You follow what I'm saying or asking?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, I think I do, and I appreciate
your willingness to be arrested on behalf of the state of Minnesota. I don't think they can criminally charge us or arrest us if we choose to just openly flaunt it, but the I do know that that the utility, in this case Xcel, is obligated by contract and by law to pay into the nuclear waste fund. And that's why I've, like I said, I've tried to be a good boy on the playground and ask the feds to do the right thing, release them from their obligation to pay into that account so that we could ask for the funds here and try to find other solutions potentially. But the that's the basis, and I'm not at this point ready to take that next step. I do think, you know, you asked what will happen, I think you asked what things looking like in D.C. or wherever the case may be. I think if we pass this bill, even if we pass it out of this committee, it'll be something of a shot heard around the world, because no one has taken a step like this anywhere else in the country, even if it just heads off to the Finance Committee and doesn't make much progress after that. The fact that we are pursuing this even, as you say, in something of a neutered position, I think it will send a message to the federal government that the states have had enough. At least one little state here in the Midwest has had enough. And 26 years of payments with no car is about time to say enough is enough.
And Representative Westrum, in response to your initial question, we do have Mr. Pickens representing Xcel on the witness list, and if there are no further questions at this time, we would ask him to come forward.
Not T-Bone, is it?
It's not. Representative Falk, and then Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To this point, Representative Beard.
I'll just say, while he's coming in, we adopted the A4 amendment yet?
We have.
We have. Okay, sorry. Thanks.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question to Representative Atkins is, with this money being directed to the Department of Commerce, as I understand, just getting caught up to speed here, would it be available for any type of use, or would it just simply set an escrow, or would the interest be available to put forward towards Minnesota projects at the discretion of perhaps the legislature or the Department of Commerce?
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, only 5 megawatt or less seabed projects. but the author's intent, and granted this has an awful long way to go, Representative Falk, but my expectation would be that it would be a tit for tat relative to the national or the nuclear waste fund, and that means that it would be taken here in escrow, held here in escrow, an interest bearing account, just like it is currently off to the folks in Washington D.C.
Mr. Pickens, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Want to identify yourself and proceed.
My name is Terry Pickens. I'm the director of nuclear regulatory policy. And we have had opportunity to discuss this bill with Representative Atkins, so Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Xcel Energy, like so many others, is frustrated with the lack of process by the federal government to remove used fuel from our nuclear power plants in the state. We welcome Representative Atkins' efforts and the opportunity to work with others in the state of Minnesota to move the federal government towards our common goal of removing used fuel from Xcel Energy's Monticello and Prairie Island nuclear generating plants. We support the intent of Representative Atkins' bill as amended and believe that with some minor adjustments so that it will align with the federal legislation, when enacted, it can be effective in accomplishing our common goal. We do appreciate his bringing attention to this important issue and thank him for prompting the dialogue. And what we would encourage is that he and others continue to work in concert with other states, because many voices is better than just one, and with our Minnesota congressional delegation to spur development of a permanent storage facility for spent nuclear fuel. So, now I can take any questions.
Mr. Pickens, your reference to minor adjustments, my understanding is that the A4 amendment that was previously adopted was intended to deal with that. Is that the case, or are there further adjustments to which you refer?
Well, the draft legislation that was shared with us by Mr. Paulson's office in Washington had different criteria for the release of the funds. It wasn't necessarily just the operation and acceptance of spent fuel. There was a couple of other steps before that. I don't know what discussions are occurring between Representative Atkins and Congressman Paulson's office, but it would be important to make sure that we have the release of the funds and the criteria for doing that aligned so that we don't get into a situation where the federal government says it's time to release funds and a Minnesota statute says we can't do it until it's operational and accepting fuel. So that, and of course that's somewhat fluid since it's a bill going through another body and it could get changed as it goes through the federal legislation. So at some point, they would need to be aligned.
But if I understand you correctly, we don't really know enough at this point to be able to do that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We don't know what the final federal legislation might say at this point.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this witness? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the amendment on the A4 amendment, my question is, and maybe Mr. Pickens can answer this, or Representative Atkins. Does the, under United States Code Title 42, Section 10222, does that refer to all nuclear power facilities? And I'm just, the language, any utility that owns or operates, maybe there's a particularly effective member of Congress who gets their facility or their state released from obligation, but doesn't necessarily include Minnesota. And I just want to make sure that this is actually Excel being released so we don't have those contractual obligations. Is that clear?
Mr. Chair, I can try that.
It's not a vacuum.
Mr. Pickens is I believe he works on this every single day, so if I screw this up, he'll let me know. But it was my understanding that U.S. Code Title 42, Section 10222 simply spells out that it is not site-specific, it's not specific, it doesn't say Xcel Energy. But it does say basically anybody that has a nuclear generating facility is subject to a 0.1%, something like that. He'll correct me, but per kilowatt charge. And that's why we reference that in the proposed bill or the proposed law. And that is the fee that we would ask not be paid into the federal government, but rather come into the escrow account here in Minnesota.
Mr. Pickens, did he get that right?
Mr. Chair, he did get that right.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Weston.
Mr. Chair, Representative Atkins. This bill isn't going to the floor. I'm almost inclined to reconsider the amendment, send it out the way it was before.
You want to introduce your own bill there, Representative West?
Well, I'm just asking if that would be helpful. You could send that shockwave around the world a little stronger, and you've got the language. You can always add it in another committee. But any interest in that, Representative Atkins? If so, I think you might have a willing committee to send you out with a stronger bill, potentially.
Representative Atkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wester, I have a sense that you're about ready to chain yourself to a dry cask. my preference is that I would really like to try playing nice first. We've got willing partners, Representative Paulson, Congressman Paulson, for example, at the federal level, and I hope others that will embrace this. And that's what Minnesotans generally stand for, is we try the nice way first, and if folks don't want to go that way, we're not just going to get rolled. So I think that's the effort tonight. Mr. Representative Westrom, I promise you I will be back with that bill if this way proves ineffective.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Westrom.
Representative Atkins, if I chain myself, you're going to have to come with, because you don't need any bigger majority than you already have.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is probably for Mr. Pickens and for the committee's edification. The money that's being collected from Xcel is being collected from every operator of a nuclear power plant in the United States and has been since 1997, I think.
Since 1982.
82, okay. And that money is not all sitting in a fund somewhere. They've actually drawn that down to build what we have at Yucca Mountain now, and I think to do a couple other exploratory projects, haven't they?
Mr. Pickens.
Mr. Chair, Representative, at this point in time, all told, see if I can get my numbers correct for you, about each year, the 104 licensees of nuclear power plants pay in about $750 million additional dollars into the nuclear waste fund.
Mm-hmm.
Each year, and that goes into the general fund.
Boy.
That money then needs to be appropriated by Congress for DOE to use on the facility. In addition to the money paid into the nuclear waste fund, since Yucca Mountain will also accept defense waste, there is money that's drawn from a defense waste fund. Both of those are resources for DOE. At this point in time, most of the work that's been done at Yucca Mountain, I believe, has drawn off of the Department of Defense fund. I don't know if I have the numbers current. I will recall, and I think at this point in time, with interest and payments, we have something on the order of $29 billion that's been paid in from the commercial facilities. I want to say $6 or $7 billion of that has been spent on the work that has been done to date. So we have a balance of about $23 or $24 billion sitting in a theoretical fund down in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Chairman, that was my point. Thank you, Mr. Pickens, for hitting the softball. I appreciate it very much. It makes me feel even more fondly towards Representative Atkins' bill. I'd much rather have that money sitting in an account here drawing interest in St. Paul than just disappearing into the maw of the general fund in Washington. So I intend to support your bill with or without the amendment, Representative Atkins. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Representative Gouser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also really like this bill. I guess it's going to send a great message. However, are we all ready for a funeral? Because it's my understanding Majority Leader Reid said is over his dead body. So I hope you're successful.
Don't even touch it.
Are there any further questions for this witness? Seeing none, Mr. Pickens, thank you very much. I believe Mayor Howell from Red Wing has also asked to testify. Mr. Mayor, welcome to the committee.
Welcome, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. This is my first opportunity or first time ever addressing the legislative body, so I hope you'll grant me some lenience here. My name is John Howell. I'm the mayor of Red Wing. I'm here to speak in favor of House File 894. The city of Red Wing supports this legislation. Prairie Island Nuclear Generating Plant is located within our city limits of Red Wing. As you're well aware, this plant is operating past its original licensing period. Xcel is seeking to relicense the two reactors in Red Wing to 2033 and 2034, increase the size of the pellets, increase the capacity, and in conjunction, they're in the middle of a process right now in front of the PUC to store up to 96 dry cast storage at Red Wing, Minnesota. I think it's imperative that we understand that I believe it's imperative that we have a local escrow fund to take care of the dry cast storage issue. Many people don't understand that I was on the task force for the upgrade for the EIS scoping. It would require a federal change in statute for Yucca Mountain to accept nuclear waste from relicensed reactors. Yucca Mountain is only designed to take the storage from the current original licensing period. So there is absolutely no plan for this relicensed nuclear waste. And therefore, there is no money locally to deal with this issue. And I would feel much more confident that it would be local rather than 1,000 miles away in Washington, D.C. But in fact, we need this, and it's interesting you mentioned a $13 million figure because $13 million is about the difference in what Xcel paid for property tax back in 1995 to what they pay today in 2008. So I think, you know, the residents of Red Wing, Minnesota, the residents of Goodhue County, the Prairie Island Indian community, the residents of the state of Minnesota, really need this body to step forth with this type of legislation. And it's upon this body, or it's upon our local government, to take responsible for the waste that is being stored. Entertaining questions.
Are there questions for Mayor Howell?
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Norman's got a question. Is it
more of a comment?
Sure, didn't see you. Representative Norman.
You got this guy right here in the way. that's okay. The comment is actually for the mayor. And I don't want to change the subject completely, but I'm from Fergus Falls. You're from Red Wing. Your team just beat my hockey team.
Thanks for giving us that information.
You're welcome. 3-2. Good game, though.
Did that have any effect on your vote, Representative?
I'm still thinking about it.
If there are no further questions, Mayor Howell, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Representative Kalin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that we're probably getting close to voting on this fine bill. I just want to tell Representative Westrom I have my Secretary of State card that has the constitutional provision that we can't be arrested during session with me, so I'm ready to vote for either provision. Mr. Chair, maybe Representative Atkins could tell us whether voting for this bill would constitute a felony, and Representative Hoppe could be arrested with the rest of us.
No.
Representative Atkins, would you like to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd renew my motion that House File 894 be reckoned and passed as amended and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Any further discussion? Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Is there any further business to come before the committee? Seeing none, we are adjourned.